Chapter 4. Hiding Behind the Body. With every breath I take, I'm sending love, gratitude, and healing to every single cell in my body. Yes. 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 These are the words of my late friend and publisher, Louise Hay. Lulu, as we call her over at Hay House, was a pioneer in mind-body healing. She brought transformational metaphysical principles to the world through her book, You Can Heal Your Life. The premise of the book was that our physical symptoms are directly connected to our thoughts and beliefs. Underneath physical dis-ease is a root cause emotional condition that needs to be processed. According to Louise, if we're willing to do the mental work, almost anything can be healed. I always held this belief system as truth. But it took years for me to apply it. Throughout my life, I had suffered with gastrointestinal issues. And after remembering the trauma of my childhood, my gut really flared up. I began having severe acid reflux, heartburn, and esophageal pain to the point that I struggled to breathe. This was in spite of my excellent diet, exercise routine, and overall healthy lifestyle. After a series of doctor's appointments and an upper endoscopy, the results revealed that I had severe gastritis, which is inflammation of the stomach lining, typically due to poor diet or stress. With medicine and a specific diet, I was able to get my stomach back to baseline, but I continued to have regular flare-ups. According to my doctor, this will just be something you'll have to deal with for the rest of your life. I was unwilling to accept this diagnosis. Fortunately, I was guided to a naturopath in California who gave me a clear direction on how to cure my gastrointestinal condition. This was no small feat. For more than 6 months, I cooked every single meal myself and kept an extremely strict diet. Most important, I had to assume a zero stress tolerance. Stress was no longer an option. When you're stressed, your gut motility, aka the stretching and contractions of the muscles in your gastrointestinal tract, slows down, causing myriad gastrointestinal issues. This 6-month period proved deeply healing, mainly because I had finally made the commitment to lower my stress levels. That was the first step to recognizing how much stress had affected my physical health. I came to accept that the inflammation in my gut was directly affected by my inflamed thoughts, unresolved emotions, and all the reactive ways I responded to my triggers. It was now time to heal the underlying root cause beliefs that kept me reverting back into stress and fear. While I was only 2 years into the trauma recovery, I was conscious enough to realize that the gut issues were not because of food or bacteria. In fact, I didn't have a gut problem. I had a subconscious emotional problem. Taking the time to be still and reflect on my life, I became very aware of all the ways that living the unresolved feelings and fearful beliefs had affected my body. Through my continued inner exploration, I could clearly see how my other physical symptoms, severe TMJ, chronic pain in my hips, and sciatica, were also the result of unresolved emotional distress. Additionally, I was still having 2 or 3 therapy sessions a week where I practiced EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and EFT, emotional freedom techniques. Both practices stimulate different parts of the brain to encourage processing and healing of deeper wounds in order to clear out the energetic disturbances. While they work differently, both are intended to expand one's ability to tolerate unresolved emotions. These practices were cathartic and helped my body relax so my nervous system could regulate. I told my team that I had no choice but to step back from work and heal. In the 6 months that I spent releasing stress-related gastro issues, I felt more physically free. I slept well, my energy was high, my skin was clear, and I was the least stressed and triggered I'd ever been. I began to experience firsthand the direct correlation between my mind and my body. This was no longer something I understood intellectually. It became something I knew to be true. The mind-body connection. With a desire to learn more about the mind-body connection, I began to study the work of Dr. John Sarno, the author of Healing Back Pain and the Mind-Body Prescription, and several other life-changing books. Dr. Sarno worked as a professor of rehabilitation medicine at New York University School of Medicine and as director of the outpatient department at the Rusk Institute. Over the years of treating pain through physical therapy and medicine, he struggled with a harsh reality. Lots of people were not getting better. As a result, he developed a thesis that he referred to as TMS, tension myoneural syndrome, not currently accepted in mainstream medicine, which attributes many types of pain as a psychosomatic condition, a physical condition caused by inner conflict or stress. The core principle behind Dr. Sarno's work, much like that of Louise Hay, is the philosophy that physical pain derives from impermissible rage, fear, and unresolved emotional distress. Dr. Sarno believed that the brain would use physical pain as a way to distract us from otherwise facing our deep-rooted unconscious emotions. This would happen on a subconscious level. It's as though the brain uses the body as a coping mechanism, and just like our other coping mechanisms, physical problems become a form of distraction from true underlying healing. Note that Dr. Sarno would always encourage patients to also seek medical care and treatment. Applying Dr. Sarno's theory requires that the patient be open to seeing the pain as a psychosomatic condition rather than only a physical diagnosis. This concept can be jarring for anyone who's suffering with chronic pain. You may be listening to this right now thinking, my physical pain is because of a herniated disc and has nothing to do with my emotions. Or you may be thinking, what is she talking about? I have a diagnosis of IBS and I've never had a healthy gut. Dr. Sarno believed that the physical diagnosis is actually contributing to the problem. Once we are diagnosed with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, a herniated disc, fibromyalgia, or other syndromes, we use the diagnosis as another way of avoiding the deep-rooted emotional conditions that live beneath our suffering. A close friend suffered from constant back pain, really serious pain that kept him from participating in normal life. He often attributed it to a herniated disc. From my vantage point, however, I could see pretty clearly that his back would go out at the exact moment of a big life change or major emotional stressor. For instance, right after making a big career change, almost the next day, he struggled to even walk. He literally spent hours of each day for weeks on end lying on the floor. The pain made sleep impossible, and he would get just a few hours a night. You cannot force the Sarno perception of psychosomatic condition onto anyone, especially someone who suffers from chronic pain. And yet, as the years went on and my friend's pain persisted, he became more willing to try out alternatives. He would have moments of living pain-free and days of real suffering. The seemingly randomness of it made him believe that perhaps there was a spiritual solution. Once while he was on vacation, he called me from bed in the middle of the day. The pain had come on out of the blue, he said. The day before, he was swimming and hiking, and today he was afraid that he might not be able to get to the airport to get home. So he was in a bad place. What's been going on? How was vacation before this? I asked. Oh, great. Yeah, weather, family, all good, he said. Oh, and I just signed a contract on an apartment. And had I not been on the phone with him, I might not have believed what happened next. Simply by saying out loud the fear of a big financial commitment, he was able to give voice to his acute stress and anxiety. As if by magic, his brain stopped attacking his body. The underlying emotional issue became obvious. And like the job before, the stress associated with a big financial decision left unchecked found its way to his back. But once he shined the light on the stress, the pain lifted just as quickly as it arrived. Healing the emotional stressors let his body off the hook. Sympathetic overdrive. The times in my life when my gut was the most inflamed were when I was the most triggered by emotional upheaval. The months following the recall of my trauma were the scariest. I was terrified of what I'd remembered, and I wanted nothing more than to suppress the feelings and memories. That's when my brain distracted me from feeling the real emotions by projecting the pain onto my stomach. When past traumatic events are unresolved emotionally, the body takes the heat. The body is constantly bombarded with the brain's stress responses. When someone has good digestion, a relaxed body, and minimal tension, they're living in the parasympathetic state. This is a calm state in which your energy is conserved, you're relaxed, your heart rate slows down, and your digestive tract is working properly. The opposite of the parasympathetic state is known as sympathetic arousal. When your sympathetic nervous system is activated, your stomach tightens, the motility of the GI system is inhibited, and digestion slows down, in addition to other physical symptoms of inflammation and pain. Energy is cut off from metabolic digestion because the body allocates resources toward your heart and muscles, increasing blood pressure, heart rate, and respiration to fight or flee. Our brain says, "I have to prepare to fight." So it takes away energy from motility to put energy into reactivity. Your muscles become tense to prepare for the perceived threat. The brain focuses energy toward escaping that threat. This automatic response is beneficial if you're addressing a real physical emergency, but it's detrimental when facing historical trauma. When you're unaware of your emotional disturbances or unwilling to face past trauma, you can get stuck in sympathetic overdrive. A chronic state of hyperarousal taxes the vagus nerve, meant to regulate the parasympathetic nervous system. When you get into this state, your heart rate can drop, you can become faint, and the muscles in your gut contract, leading to symptoms such as diarrhea, bloating, cramps, stomach spasms, and other forms of gut dysbiosis. Other physical symptoms include anxiety, panic attacks, nervousness, insomnia, breathlessness, palpitations, inability to relax or focus, jitters, gastrointestinal issues, intense fear, physical pain, and more. My gastrointestinal issues were the direct reflection of chronic hyperarousal. The parts of my brain that are designed to monitor danger remained overactivated for decades. Even the slightest sense of danger, such as thinking someone was taking advantage of me or feeling out of control at work, could trigger an acute stress response. I would then go into an intense state of emotional distress. So my brain limited oxygen to my gut, creating inflammation, slowing down the gastric motility, and even negatively affecting my microbiome. The stress also led to clenching in my jaw, tension in my neck, and chronic pain in my hip. Because the balance was never restored, I lived with persistent distress throughout my body. My focus became all about healing my body, masking the feelings of rage, shame, and grief, which I hadn't yet discovered or addressed. Body identification. Dr. Sarno's theory mirrors many spiritual philosophies about the body. One of the most valuable messages from the metaphysical text A Course in Miracles is Lesson 199. I am not a body, I am free. The text explains, freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive a body as yourself. To me, this means that if we decide to perceive our physical experience as a reflection of our thoughts and feelings, we welcome a spiritual shift. Taking the focus off of the body and back onto healing the mind is a profound spiritual adjustment. I am not suggesting we ignore our physical symptoms or fail to seek medical guidance, but that we simultaneously address the metaphysical effects of our mind. How different would we be if we were to dissolve our body identification and surrender to our inner awareness? When we tend to our spirit, we set our body free. By focusing my energy inward through spiritual practice and personal development, my perception of my body has changed. The more I focus on freedom from fear, the more free I become from my bodily perceptions. It's not that I walk around all day ignoring or denying my body. It's just that I don't hide behind it as a way of running from my unresolved emotions. I turn to my spiritual development to heal the fears I've built up over the years. and reprogramming my thoughts from fear to love allows my body to respond accordingly. I recognize now all the ways my body can let me know when my inner world needs help and healing. A spiritual relationship to your body. My newfound faith in the mind-body connection helped me see my body as a learning device to get closer to inner freedom. These days, I am consciously aware of how my body responds to stressors, fearful thoughts, triggers, and feelings. Instead of being distracted by my body and physical pain and ignoring my inner emotional landscape, I can now take my body's cues as a direction to turn inward and look for emotional disturbances that need tending to. Today, I can respectfully honor my body for all of its hard work and for taking the brunt of suffering and trying to protect me from impermissible feelings. Several practices in particular really helped me establish a spiritual relationship with my body. These practices proactively soothed my nervous system, calmed my mind, and addressed the thoughts and feelings behind my body's response in the moment. This began my journey of undoing my fear of my body and reclaiming the spiritual presence of peace within me. As I share these practices with you, you may not be able to contemplate a world without physical pain or chronic illness. Once you identify your fears, your stress, or a trauma, don't expect your body to be released from tension instantly, although Dr. Sarno thought that it was possible, and it was for the friend I mentioned earlier in the chapter. All I ask is that you open up to the possibility that your physical issues could have a mental or emotional component. We can open up your conscious awareness of your emotional connection to your body through prayer. Take this prayer in and welcome spirit into the process. With love and compassion, I witness my physical suffering. Thank you, spirit, for helping me resolve all emotional distress so my body can be restored back to peace. Shine light on stress. What I loved most about Sarno and his approach to physical healing was how spiritual it was. I could see clearly how my stomach would flare up every time I went into a panic or defensive state. I was able to identify how each thought I had affected my beliefs and therefore my body. My conscious awareness of how my thoughts affected my body began a new relationship to my physical well-being. I committed to heal by addressing the root cause of the stress that was wreaking havoc in my body. When we shine light on the thoughts rather than the symptoms can subside. What we focus on, we create more of. Therefore, if we redirect our focus off our body and onto shifting our perception, we can experience great relief. The first step to healing the body is to shine light on the mind-body connection. Take note of the ways your body responds to stress, fear, and overwhelming emotions. Do you have back pain? Migraines? Do you suffer from insomnia or dermatological issues? Have you been diagnosed with IBS or another gastrointestinal disorder? Do you have a diagnosis like fibromyalgia or another inflammatory condition? Now consider the ways your thoughts and emotional condition may affect your physical condition. When you're really stressed, do your symptoms increase? Or when you experience one of the triggers we outlined in Chapter 2, do you notice your symptoms flare up? It may be hard to track in this moment how your body responds to stressors, but the next time you notice that back pain or migraine or stomach flare-up, ask yourself, what am I thinking? Or what emotion is behind this right now? This simple inquiry will begin the process of helping you track your own mind-body connection. Instead of pushing past the pain or addressing it only from an allopathic approach, consider the emotional disturbances that could lie beneath it. There's no shame in taking medicine or seeing a doctor, but give your body the chance to speak to you. Your physical pain is a clue that there is emotional pain that must be addressed. Talk back to your brain. Your willingness to consider that your thoughts and emotions are affecting your body is a step toward undoing chronic physical conditions and setting your body free. Bringing attention to the mind-body connection gives voice to the unconscious emotions that deserve to be brought to the surface for healing. Remember that Dr. Sarno taught that the brain creates physical symptoms as a way to distract us from unconscious negative emotions. One of the key steps in Dr. Sarno's method is to repudiate the pain. By literally talking back to your brain and saying something like, "You are not my pain. I'm just avoiding a repressed emotion." You send a message to your brain to interrupt its process in order to protect you. In less severe cases of repressed emotions, simply repudiating the pain is enough to instantly stop it. Awareness that the symptom is created initially in the brain rather than the body stops the protective mechanism and the symptoms can subside. In the previous chapters, you've begun to identify the emotions that you've been running from or fighting. The work you've done thus far has brought a heightened level of awareness to the emotional distress in your life and where fear may be an underlying emotion. Now, let's take a closer look. While you may not yet absolve yourself of emotional distress, you can give it a voice. It's brave to allow subconscious emotions like rage and fear to come to the surface. The following exercise is a powerful way to allow your unconscious emotions to come forth in a safe way. If you practice this method regularly, your physical symptoms will begin to subside and hopefully disappear. When you give voice to the discomfort, it no longer has to hide in your body. Rage on the page. One of the major spiritual pathways to freeing your body is through exposing impermissible feelings such as rage and fear. I started doing this practice after talking to my friend Nicole Sachs. Nicole is a therapist who specializes in the work of Dr. Sarno. When I mentioned I was struggling with TMJ, she told me about her journaling method that she recommends to everyone. She calls it Journal Speak and adapted it from Dr. Sarno. Nicole suggested that I journal for 20 minutes about all of my anger, rage, fear, and discomfort. Then, after 20 minutes of writing, she instructed me to meditate for 20 minutes to allow the emotional release to set in. Ready to relieve my jaw tension, I was willing to do whatever she suggested. I made a few of my own tweaks to the practice as she described it. For one, I named it Rage on the Page. Then I decided to add bilateral music. Bilateral music rhythmically stimulates each side of the brain to help fully process thoughts. It opens our window of tolerance, which is the psychological state when we're best able to respond to whatever comes our way by building emotional resilience. Emotional resilience increases our ability to process stress and big emotions, keeping them from getting stuck in our subconscious. 20 minutes of rage on the page brings your unconscious rage and fear or worry, sadness, judgment, or any other repressed emotion to the surface. Then, in your meditation, while listening to the bilateral music found at deargabby.com/happyresources, you allow yourself to become more present with those feelings so you can take the tension and pressure off your body. Note, you may resist the idea of putting your rage on the page because you were taught as a child that it's wrong or unsafe to feel angry or afraid. Many people grew up with parents who repeatedly said, "You're fine, let's move on," or shushed you when you cried. Even these simple remarks can create the belief that it isn't safe to feel discomfort. Many parents haven't worked through their own emotional distress and therefore cannot hold space to experience a child's emotions. When a child's emotions are repressed, they can form a belief that it's not safe to express anger, rage, sadness, or other forms of distress. This results in an ego perception that we must do anything we can to avoid those impermissible feelings. Nevertheless, you may find that this process is too much for you at this time. My friend Sarah did this practice and it was too activating. After the 20-minute practice of raging on the page, she felt scared that she let herself go there, as she put it. She was brought up in a home where no one ever talked about their feelings. She'd never seen either of her parents cry, even when close friends or family members passed away. Sarah's emotions, too, had been repressed for decades. So when she started to rage on the page, she was terrified and ashamed by what was coming through. Shame is a common response to expressing how we truly feel if our emotions were repressed as children. Once I was able to help Sarah calm down, we both agreed that rage on the page wasn't right for her at that time. I suggested that she come back to it when she'd done more of the work I share in this book and felt safer to face big emotions. If Sarah's story sounds familiar, Feel free to skip this practice right now and return to it when you feel ready. Alternatively, test drive this practice with less charged emotions, such as a minor annoyance or frustration. Sometimes the small stuff reveals the big stuff. So starting off lighter can be very effective. Do what feels safe and don't push yourself. If for any reason your intuition is telling you that this may bring up too much for you, then save it for another time. Throughout the book, I will continue to share self-regulating practices to help you support your nervous system. You can always return to these practices when you feel stable enough to process them. As challenging as rage on the page may seem, it may make it easier if you remember that no one will see this journal. This practice is an opportunity to give voice to repressed emotions. Also, keep in mind that journal entries about anger will not manifest more negativity into your life. It's quite the opposite. When we release our unconscious emotional distress, we clear our energy field and return to emotional balance. In this state, we become a super attractor, spiritually aligned, and a magnet for what we desire. The Rage on the Page Practice. 1. Turn off your phone so you'll be uninterrupted, then set a timer for 20 minutes. Press play on the bilateral music, links at deargabby.com/happyresources. Flip your phone over so you aren't watching the timer. 2. Open your journal and write for 20 minutes. You may need to start with 5 minutes and build up. Journal about anything that's been triggering you, from your anger about an ex-boyfriend to frustration about a disappointing breakfast. There's no issue too big, too small, or in any way off limits. Let it all out onto the page. Rage, anger, frustration, fear, worry, doubt. Remember, if you feel resistance to this process, take it slowly and start by journaling minor annoyances rather than major emotional distress. 3. When the timer ends, stop writing. Adjust your position to make sure you're sitting comfortably. 4. Gently close your eyes and continue listening to the bilateral music. Let whatever feelings need to come up move through you. 5. Just breathe and feel your feelings. Follow this breath pattern. Breathe in deeply through your nose as your diaphragm extends. Exhale completely out of your mouth as it relaxes. 6. When thoughts come into your mind, gently let them pass through and let them go. This meditation is a free-flowing practice of breathing deeply and exhaling completely. Let the music take you on a restorative journey. Meditate for as long as you wish. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes at first. Do what you can, and every time you return to this practice, meditate for a bit longer until you're at 20 minutes. If, for any reason, this practice triggers you or makes you uncomfortable, you can visit deargabby.com/happyresources for more therapeutic support. Take care of yourself and do what feels good. If this practice supports you, the best way to get relief is to make it a daily habit. After practicing Rage on the Page for over a year, I now turn to my journal in any moment of distress and release any unconscious emotion so it doesn't get repressed and stuck in my body. The body comes out of hiding. Now that I have this practice as part of my daily routine, I'm able to release unconscious negative emotions before they become physical conditions. My life is different as a result. I feel serene in a new way. I live with perfect digestion free from anxiety, and my physical tension has subsided. I sleep 9 hours a night because I'm no longer suppressing emotions. My jaw is relaxing, big one for me, and I'm moving through difficult experiences with grace. The concept that your physical conditions could be psychosomatic might still feel hard for you to believe. Don't overthink it. The next time you feel your back pain flare up, your stomach go into knots, or the same old migraine take hold, ask yourself what you need to feel. Then give yourself the necessary time to practice journaling whatever rage, fear, anxiety, or other emotions need to come through. Don't judge what comes up. Just let it out. Then, following your journaling practice, meditate and allow your body to relax. I'm confident you'll notice a shift in your body. Find subconscious support. This writing practice can also support you through experiences of emotional upheaval, like the death of a loved one, a breakup, or some other tragic event. Often we want to run from those deep feelings, but giving voice to them is what sets us free. I have even used this practice to help me deal with managing my team at work. For over a decade, I worked very closely with a woman I considered to be like family. But as my career got bigger, our relationship dynamic changed. I began to sense her resistance to me on calls and in meetings. Eventually, I called it out with love, but that didn't seem to resolve the issue. Sometime later, she resigned with a short and curt email. My initial reaction was outrage. I went right into protector mode, started trying to find her replacement, and blamed her for the pain I was feeling. Then, I pulled myself together and spoke with her over the phone. I was able to tell her how much our friendship and work relationship meant to me and how painful it was for it to end in this way. She responded, "It's just time for me to move on, Gabby. That's it." Her unemotional response left me sad, frustrated, and without resolution. So I took my rage to the page. After 15 minutes of journaling about how angry and outraged I was, the truth came out. I began to sob as I wrote about how this current experience reflected my deep childhood wound of attachment breach and abandonment. I journaled on and on about the pain of being abandoned and my deep-rooted belief that I was always at fault. I was able to come out of my meditation with a new perspective. The moment I was able to honor my childhood triggers, I could recognize hers. I could recognize her suffering and honor her experiences and decisions. But most important, I could come one step closer to honoring my child self who had felt neglected. We will go further into this in upcoming chapters. Practicing rage on the page helped me release the unconscious anger rather than store it in my body. Affirm how you want to feel. One of the most powerful ways to ease your emotional distress and therefore your physical symptoms in the moment is to use positive affirmations. Louise Hay taught the power of positive affirmations as a spiritual tool for reorganizing your thoughts and beliefs and also your energy field. When you affirm a positive desired feeling, you begin to lean into what is possible and become present in the moment. Louise said, "The point of power is always in the present moment." Positive affirmations can ground you in the present by giving you an elevated point of focus. When repeated, they can become a mantra that can dissolve all fearful thoughts with love. Words alone have the power to change your energy field and therefore your body. Creating a practice of reciting positive affirmations is a transformational way to bring your thoughts, energy, and body back to peace. When you notice a thought, a physical symptom, or a trigger arise, turn to any of the following positive affirmations to guide you back to grace. If you want to enjoy my positive affirmation meditation, you can visit deargabby.com/happyresources. Take a moment to listen to the affirmations now. I am safe in my body. Everything is working out for me. I am truly taken care of. I am at ease. I am free in my mind and body. The universe has my back. I can let go and trust that everything is unfolding perfectly. My presence is my power. My energy is powerful. My body is strong and resilient. I am still. I am well. You can even make up your own positive affirmations that resonate with you. One affirmation that always supported me at some of my darkest times is, "Everything is happening around me. I am truly taken care of." Affirming this always made me feel at peace and reminded me of the spiritual presence within and around me. Years later, I returned to that affirmation whenever I noticed tension in my body. Don't underestimate the power of positive affirmations. Return to this practice whenever you notice tension or fear arise. This is a fast and spiritual way to release your subconscious and return to the truth of who you are. Choose an affirmation that makes you feel at peace and recite it daily. The promise. Spiritual and psychological truths have the power to offer great relief and freedom. The goal is for you to recognize how powerful your stress response is and to notice when you're triggered into a state of emotional distress. The more aware you become of your physical sensations, the more you are able to shine light on your subconscious emotions. While you may not yet be able to face all the feelings that dwell under the surface, your willingness to acknowledge their presence is yet another step forward. Let your body be your guide to revealing what truly needs to be healed. It's also possible that just by acknowledging your unresolved emotions, your body has tensed up. That's okay, and it's common. For now, just notice the form of your physical response. Give yourself permission to go slowly and know that you do not have to resolve all of your emotions overnight. If for a moment each day you can let your physical symptoms be a reminder to turn inward, breathe, journal, and feel, then you're on the right track. As I write this chapter, I'm in awe of how my affirmation became my reality. Everything is truly happening around me and I am truly taken care of. My calm state has allowed my body to heal. My chronic physical issues have been naturally resolved through addressing the underlying emotional triggers. Giving my emotions a voice has set my body free. Be open to miracles and trust that your body is revealing to you what you need to heal. In no way do I want to dismiss chronic illness or pain, although I cannot emphasize the benefits of lowering your stress response. When you become willing and safe enough to allow your subconscious emotions to come to the surface for healing, then your life will change forever. Your stress responses will subside, your nervous system will relax, and your body will naturally heal itself. Trust that the practices in the coming chapters will continue to unlock the hidden emotions that have been running the show. Setting them free to be healed and resolved will be the catalyst for emotional and physical relief. Take this one step at a time. And follow my lead.